This is ESPN Radio's Barton Hahn Podcast.
If Barton Hahn got in much better shape and then got much prettier, you'd end up with Douglas and Fitz. Terry Douglas, Jason Fitz, sitting for the guys on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, Sirius XM, Channel 80, and on your smart speaker. Although one of our bosses, Mike Foss, a few years ago did text me and say, why do I feel like Alan Hahn is like the superhero version of you? Like he's the actual superhero and you're the everyday, slightly disheveled, less attractive version. I think he's not wrong. Like, Hahn is like Captain America and I'm just like whoever the other side of Captain America is. We're presented by Progressive Insurance. I don't know why I'm going that. Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all of your car care needs. They're close, convenient, and known for guaranteed everyday low prices and excellent customer service from professional parts people you can trust. Stop by your local O'Reilly Auto Parts today. O'Reilly Parts, O'Reilly Auto parts, better prices every day. O'Reilly. So, I sing it every time, Harry. I gotta do it. In the meantime,
Auto Parts.
Look at him picking it up. All right. This is what we're doing. It's two-a-days on ESPN Radio, and today, we are going to get to one of the teams that's being slept on, the Baltimore Ravens. All right, so we're having all this conversation about Lamar Jackson, and obviously we're going to continue to have that conversation. Can we, for a second, though, just talk about the Ravens overall? Because I'm telling you, it just is wild to me, absolutely wild when you talk about games lost to injury, all right? And that is just it's one of those stats that they keep track of. And if you look at games lost to injury, last year, nobody lost more games more starters for games to injury than the Baltimore Ravens. There was no team more decimated last season than the Ravens to injury, Harry, and they still finished 8-9. Like, I'm looking at a team that started week one with you and me on the roster as running backs, right? Like, they had nothing going for a team that was supposed to, like, they restructure everything, and they still finish 8-9. I think we're sleeping on the Ravens.
I think a lot of people are, too. I think a lot of people are sleeping on the AFC North. I think they have a chance to possibly get three teams if things shape out the correct way. But when you look at this organization...
Whoa. You lost your damn mind already. Like, have you heard of the AFC West?
Notice I said possibly. That means there's a chance,
you
right?
You're hedging them.
Don't have selective hearing.
All right, keep going.
There you go. You can't have selective hearing, Fitz. But when you look at the Baltimore Ravens, I tell you, the number one thing that comes to my mind is culture. And the culture of this team has been phenomenal for years and years and years, all the way back to when Ray Lewis was playing there, right? And Newsom and what he's been able to do with the Ravens organization. But you look at John Harbaugh, and whenever you have a head coach that is as solid as he is, you're going to have a chance. Now, Lamar Jackson, this team was the first in the AFC when Lamar Jackson got hurt. They didn't make the playoffs. They lost a lot of close games. So the first thing I'm going to say when it comes to the Ravens this year, health is wealth. That's the number one thing. They're going to be able to get back Lamar Jackson, J.K. Dobbins, Gus Edwards. You're going to be able to get back Marcus Peters. Marlon Humphrey missed some time last year. But here's what I mean by culture. You look at what they did, and me and you were able to do the NFL draft together. They drafted Tyler Linderbaum, who had a first-round draft pick, great. Kyle Hamilton, who had a first-round draft pick, great. Travis Jones, who could have possibly went in the first round. David Ojabo, who could have possibly went in the first round if he wouldn't have got hurt. That's four guys with possibly first-round draft grades that they drafted and that now on their roster. Now, you add in a Marcus Williams in free agency at the safety position. They have the ability to, secondary-wise, play three safeties. Marcus Williams, Chuck Clark, Kyle Hamilton, all at the same time. And then they drafted Armour Davis from Alabama to go along with a Marcus Peters and a Marlon Humphrey. So the way they're constructed, it's just the culture, man. They know the type of players that they want on their roster. They know how to put them in the best positions to be successful. But for the Baltimore Ravens this year, number one, health is wealth. Number two, you better make sure Lamar Jackson is paid. That's the second thing. And if I'm Lamar Jackson, I'm not going out there on that football field. I don't give a damn what anybody says until I have a contract. Because any and everything can happen, and you don't want your career to be derailed. I'm praying that don't happen for Lamar, but you don't want your career to be derailed because of injury. And one of his close friends, Teddy Bridgewater, had it happen to him when he was in Minnesota, dropping back in practice just to pass the football, and he tore up his knee. I don't want things like this to happen to Lamar Jackson, but I don't want him going out there on that football field without about having a mega deal. But on the flip side of that, he should not be taking any dollar less than a guy like than Deshaun Watson. I'm fair to say that because he is a MVP winning quarterback. He's a team that I think this offense is Lamar Jackson, everything that they want to do. But when you look at the wide receivers, there's no Hollywood Brown, who was close to Lamar Jackson. So Rashad Bateman, he's going to have to step up. Devin Duvernay is going to have to step up. James Prochet II is going to have to step up. But let's not forget what he has at the tight end position. Mark Andrews, I thought Mark Andrews made major strides last year. And when I say major strides, I thought he was really there for that team when he needed him, when they needed him just about in every aspect of the game of football. They also have Nick Boyle. They drafted Charlie Kolar and Isaiah Likely. They drafted two more tight ends. So there you go again, Fitz. The culture of the Baltimore Ravens. They know the type of players that they want, and they get them on their roster.
I think there's a couple of things here that really stand out. Harry Douglas, Jason Fitz, in for Barton Hahn on ESPN Radio. And, you know, when you talk about the wide receiver move, I think we were all stunned on the NFL draft during the draft when Hollywood Brown was traded. But you're right. We ended that draft looking around saying, how the hell do the Ravens always do this? How do they always seem to just best player available in a way that you look at it and say, wow, not only was he the best player available, but he might be a great player. I thought they absolutely crushed the draft. The other thing that I think really helps the Ravens this year is, and it's always tough to play the schedule game, but they do, at least in theory, they drew the AFC East, and there's some beatable teams in there if you're them, and then they drew the NFC South, and no offense to the Falcons in Atlanta, but there are some beatable teams in the South. I think the Ravens got favorable matchups throughout the course of their schedule. Even the team that they draw from the AFC West is the Broncos. That's a favorable matchup for them. They get it at home. So I look at this division, and I'm looking at a team, again, decimated by injury, a team that, to your point, has stacked themselves at the tight end, and a team that is going to come out and say, look, we're going to find creative ways to run the ball. Last year was the first time that they ever threw the ball more than they ran the ball. That was not because of what they wanted to do. I think it's because what they had to do last year, and they still maximize that. So there are moments where I say, what do I give benefit of the doubt to? I give benefit of the doubt to great coaching. I give benefit of the doubt to proof of concept to quarterback, and I give benefit of the doubt to defense in the NFL. We know in those areas, they're going to be just fine. The one argument I think is stupid when it comes to Lamar Jackson, and I can't say this loud enough. Every single fan that sits there and yells, well, what about the playoffs? He's only won one playoff game. I don't care. Like, Justin Herbert hasn't even played a damn playoff game, and we're ready to pay him. Deshaun Watson in his career has one playoff win. And by the way, the last year Deshaun Watson played, he went 4-12. So let's not suddenly mask it like there's this brilliance out of the playoff. Like, the playoffs are such an arbitrary stat to take for the greatness of a quarterback because we put too much emphasis on that one game. Like, the fact that he has one playoff win is part of his story. It's not all of his story. He has an MVP. You're 1,000% right. I would not touch a contract that wasn't bigger than Deshaun Watson's from day one, because for all the things that Deshaun may be off the field, I could argue, or on the field, I should say, I could argue that Lamar has none of the stuff obviously off the field. Lamar has an MVP, has as many playoff wins, and means everything to the Ravens winning any football. They got nothing if they don't have Lamar. That's all the power you could possibly ask for. We'll bring in a Ravens Super Bowl champ to talk more about this, but first, Harry's got to get you smooth and ready with Dollar Shave Club.
You ever have a shave so noticeably smooth that people want to touch it?
Every day.
Like when a friendly pat on your cheek turns into a full cheek rub. Mm. It's the kind of shave a Dollar Shave 6 Club Blade Razor can get you. The Dollar Shave Club 6 Blade Razor brings noticeably smooth shaves and 6 stainless steel blades for swift hair remover and lubricating strip that keeps things smooth. The Dollar Shave Club 6 Blade Razor is here to get that chin noticed, and it comes at a fair price. Dollar Shave Club razors are sold at dollarshave.com or in stores.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Spartan Hunt on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, Sirius XM Channel 80, and of course your smart speakers, Harry Douglas, Jason Fitz. Look, I'm always the least athletic person in the room. I know that. Or as Harry Douglas says it, the least athletic person in the room. Like, the more athletic somebody is, the more syllables Harry adds to it. It's one of my favorite things about working with with Harry.
But, my wife gets on me about that, too.
Well,
like, she hates when I do it.
No. I love it. Like, it's such a signature thing for you that I love every second of it. But anytime I'm surrounded by this level of wide receiver talent, I don't know what I'm going to do. Because we're now joined by Quadri Ismail, NFL analyst, former NFL wide receiver, co-host of the Purple Pregame Show on WJIZ in Baltimore and Super Bowl champion. I mean, the amount of wide receiver talent I got going around here, I'm just trying not to screw it up, which is a glorious world to live in. Let's start with not to screw up. How do you not screw up the Lamar Jackson contract at this point?
Honestly, I think the one thing you are looking at is the unconventional. The unconventional part of it is Eric DaCosta is working with Lamar Jackson and his mom as far as the contract itself. If it was an agent and they had the conversations, the agent is going to know as far as what the team wants to see and kind of make the first salvo, if you will, throwing out some numbers. The agent is going to come back. He's going to have his due diligence as far as what he needs to bring back to his client, and the back and forth ping pong match goes on. Eventually, they get to a point where, yes, you would see a Josh Allen contract and his numbers. You would then see, you know, well, Patrick Mahomes, well, you know, hey, look at what, you know, Kirk Cousins, as far as the totality of his guaranteed, all guaranteed monies. Aaron Rodgers keeps moving the ball up, and then, bam, Deshaun Watson. He comes up with a fully guaranteed contract as well. And I think you, as an agent, kind of start to formulate and make those parameters, and then you have yourself, you know, the back and forth with Eric DaCosta, the Ravens general manager. All that gets thrown out the window because you're looking at Lamar Jackson doing it for himself. And I don't know, and a lot of people don't know, because he's done a great job of holding it close to his vest as far as, you know, any word out from his camp, what they are looking for in terms of numbers and contract structure. But we just don't know. So basically right now we're kind of in a holding pattern. And that's one of the biggest things that, you know, both Eric DaCosta and John Harbaugh have said, hey, we're in a holding pattern. You know, we're waiting on Lamar. And I think that's where it's at currently, waiting on Lamar.
Quadri, I got to ask you, man, being a former wide receiver, you that is, and then myself as well, I want to take you back to your playing days. Should Lamar Jackson step foot on that field without a new deal?
I don't think it's a scenario where you look at a should I or shouldn't I step out on the field without a new deal. It's are you willing to bet on yourself? And we've seen before, at least here in Baltimore, the guy that bet on himself was Joe Flacco, who takes his team, becomes part of the January Joe legend. He wins a Super Bowl, doesn't throw an interception throughout the playoffs, Super Bowl MVP, and now, hey, I got all the leverage in the world. He bet on himself and gets this fat contract. At that time, it was the largest deal. So, you know, make no mistake about it. Lamar Jackson is set to make $23 million. Is $23 million less than $45 million? Duh. Yeah, we know that. But I think I have some wiggle room if, in fact, Lamar wants to bet on himself and say, no, I'm going to hold off. I'm going to go to camp. I'm going to do all the things that's going to put ourselves in a position to win, to be successful. So I think that's where my mind takes me when I look at Lamar. And to be perfectly honest with you, he's talked about, you know, trying to get the contract done before camp. So let's see. We're counting down the days, of course, but it'll be interesting to see where it all unfolds.
It's Barton Hahn on ESPN Radio. Harry Douglas, Jason Fitz in for the guys, talking to Kadri Ismail, NFL analyst, former NFL wide receiver. You can check him out all over the place, WJIZ. So, Kadri, educate me, because the average or the game's lost injury has been a huge factor for the Ravens. Is there anything that they've been able to figure out that they can attribute that to?
Well, I mean, John Harbaugh is one of those dudes that really gets into the weeds when it comes to how to improve his team, how not to be stale. I think that's part of what makes him a great coach. He sat down with his strength and conditioning staff. They talked about, you know, the way in which they go about the repetitions, the certain movement patterns, all that. I know one of the things that I have passion for and that I do, I train people literally from a sports performance or human movement performance aspect of things. And the one thing that they have to address is the way in which they, what I call heels down training. Heels down training is a reverse movement, and those are the traditional ways people move. It sets you up for an injury. And I think all of the injuries that have occurred that were significant, when you look at the ACL tears and the Achilles tears, they came because you're patterning in wrong patterns. They have addressed other things when it comes to recovery. They've addressed things when it comes to the ability to practice smarter and all that. So kudos to them. Tip of the cap. I think that's going to help. But ultimately, if you don't train the correct way, the central nervous system is putting in a position where it's like, hey, this is what you want me to do, but then I'm going to do it. Under high velocity, under max stress, and under max loads, playing a game of football, if you, in fact, have those wrong patterns in, it sets you up for an injury.
Now, I got to ask you about this defense. They added Marcus Williams at the safety position. They drafted Kyle Hamilton. How beneficial is it going to be able to add those two guys to Chuck Clark in their secondary?
I think it's huge. I think McDonald, the new offensive coordinator, is in a position where he has options. And every coordinator that you ever talk to, they love the fact that they can have options and not be predictable. Of course, this defense is predicated on getting after the quarterback, but you have to cover in the back end of things. And I think for the fact that you still have Chuck Clark on the roster, everybody knows he's a pro's pro. You add in Marcus Williams, you add in Hamilton, you now are in a unique situation to have potentially three safeties on the field. And, you know, we'll see where Marcus Peters and Marlon Humphrey both, you know, had some significant injuries. One was ACL, one was a torn pectoral muscle. But we'll see where those guys are at. If those guys are, in fact, able to get back out there on the field, looks like, you know, Marlon's progressed to the point where he will be. But we'll see where Marcus Peters is at. I think, you know, you're looking at a top three secondary, and it will go from the Achilles heel that doomed the Ravens last year in the latter part of the season to potentially one of the best in the league, and that is exciting to see if you're a Ravens fan.
Kadri, with all the talk about the Browns roster overall and whatever their quarterback situation ends up being, and then all the hoopla for the Bengals, rightfully so, does it feel like we're nationally sleeping on the Ravens?
I don't know if it's nationally sleeping on the Ravens. I think people respect John Harbaugh. I think that, you know, people recognize, yeah, you know, they have a strong defense. I think the elephant in the room is that, you know, for whatever the reason, the national narrative is whether or not Lamar Jackson, you know, is a top 10 quarterback. I think he's top three at worst, and we can argue the numbers and all the things moving him up the ladder. But I think that's where it's at. I think this team, it knows how to win. I think it unfortunately got beset with injuries. I think if all hands are on deck, the way they retooled the offensive line, the way they brought in some extra weapons for Lamar, when he was at his best and Greg Roman was just calling pretty much anything he wanted to call and they were doing extremely well, I dubbed it bully ball. They had three tight ends, one back, and Lamar Jackson was just killing fools. I think that being said, bully ball is is back. I think that they have the opportunity to reestablish that unconventional offense, and the fact that they have Lamar Jackson running it, former league MVP, then I think all signs points to the showdown of them and Cincinnati for AFC North supremacy.
I think that's interesting what you brought up, because drafting the two tight ends that they did in Charlie Kohler and Isaiah Likely, they can now go 14 personnel with one back and four tight ends. And if they want to spread out and create mismatches with linebackers or DNs guarding any one of these athletic tight ends that they have, they can do that. The flip side of that, they can also pound the rock like we're accustomed to seeing them do.
I'm telling you, that's bully ball. That's what, you know, helped when, you know, you had Hayden Hurst, you had Mark Andrews, you had guys that can Patrick Carr, who was the utility tight end slash fullback. You had guys that created a lot of misdirection. Ronnie Stanley was healthy, the all-pro left tackle, who is coming off a devastating injury. I think he's back, and all signs point for him to be ready to go. You add in a strong piece when you got Tyler Linderbaum at the center position. I think, you know, the way in which this offensive line functions is going to dictate the success of bully ball. I think the tight ends, you're absolutely right. You can spread them out. You can keep them in tight. You can keep regular personnel defensively on the football field and just start to drool, because you know you're going to get some plays down the field. At the same time, if, in fact, a coordinator wants to make a gamble and say, nah, you know, let's force them to run the ball. So, you know, we'll put in, you know, a big nickel situation to limit, you know, the opportunity for them to throw it down the football field or create a better matchup for us. You know, the offense is more than comfortable with sustaining drives and marching it right down your throat. So, again, I think there are a ton of good from a personnel package standpoint that could happen for the Ravens.
You guys can listen to him on the co-host as the co-host of the Purple Pregame Show on WJZ in Baltimore. Kadri Ismail, really appreciate your time, your insight. Thanks so much for hanging out with us, my friend.
Thank you. All the time, bro. Appreciate you.
Great work from him, and Harry always loved watching him play, so it's cool when we get to talk to people that I absolutely loved watching play. In the meantime, speaking of wide receivers, there's a top 10 list from ESPN that I think Harry Douglas might have something to say about, because it involves a position he knows better than most. We'll break it down next. Barton Hahn on ESPN Radio. Harry Douglas, Jason Fitz in for the guys.
Bart and Hahn.
Barton Hahn on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, SiriusXM, Channel 80, and your smart speakers. I'm Jason Fitz, hanging out with Harry Douglas. ESPN Radio is presented by Progressive Insurance. If you're a renter, make sure you're protected. Renter's insurance includes options that cover stolen property, personal injury, and living expenses if your place is damaged. Quote renter's insurance at progressive.com. Now, Jeremy Fowler is progressive every year when he thinks about ways to give us lists. I gotta stress this, Harry, as I do every single time I mention these lists. These are not Jeremy Fowler's top rankings. Jeremy Fowler is in charge of going to over 50 different people around the league, players, coaches, and executives, front office personnel, all across the landscape. And by doing so, they are able to make these lists of the top 10s. So the current list is Jeremy Fowler's top 10 wide receivers. Something that Harry Douglas might know a little bit about. Now, there are some important names on this, like, I don't know, number one, Davante Adams. I'm not sure what team he plays for my beloved Raiders, as I sit here in my Raiders shirt, and I am wildly excited about this season. He's got Davante at one, Cooper Kupp at two, Jamar Chase at three, Justin Jefferson at four, Stephon Diggs at five. So that's his top five. Let's start there before we get to some of the controversy on this. One through five, Davante, Cooper, Jamar, Justin Jefferson, Stephon Diggs. You got any problems with that?
I would probably move Stephon Diggs to six and move Tyreek Hill up to five.
Okay, but you're good with one through four. You're good with Devontae being number one this year?
Yeah, Devontae's number one the last few years for me. The way he's able to run routes, catch the football in traffic, move, play outside, play inside, He demands double teams. He still makes the play no matter what. So that's why I have Davante Adams at number one. Now, number two, Cooper Kupp. You have a guy who won the Triple Crown last year. He led the league in catches, yards, and touchdowns. Cooper Kupp is just one of those receivers when you're like, damn, we hope and pray that we can defend him when we get out there on Sundays, Mondays, or whenever the game may be. But for some odd reason, Cooper Kupp finds a way to get open, especially when you look at the Super Bowl and you know the football is coming to him from Matthew Stafford. And he's one of the guys that I think is consistent, right? Quarterback friendly. He understands defenses. So yes, them being one or two, I love it.
Can stick with quarterback friendly for a second. Let me give everybody the rest of the list quickly. Tyreek Hill at 6, you mentioned he should be higher. DeAndre Hopkins at 7, Mike Evans at 8, Deebo Samuel at 9, and DK Metcalf at 10. Before we get to the problem on that list, you just mentioned quarterback friendly. I think this is a huge part of this conversation because everybody keeps talking about the expected production. And I had the brief opportunity last year to watch a little bit of football with Ryan Clark, and it was really transcendent for me to watch the Chiefs. And we were watching a couple of different games. He was watching games. I was just really sitting there flying the wall. And he was talking about defenses and the way they essentially were leaning everything they do defensively to account for the speed of Tyreek. Like, you got to cheat a little bit to make sure that you factor in where Tyreek can end up, which then creates a ton of open space for other guys to get open. When you look at Davante Adams and you look at Tyreek Hill, those are two guys that by no longer being with their quarterbacks, I think it makes their previous quarterbacks' jobs more difficult. It doesn't mean that I think Aaron Rodgers or Patrick Mahomes are lesser quarterbacks. It just means their job is going to be more difficult, right?
Yeah, when you look at a guy like Aaron Rodgers, when you have that rapport with a guy like Davante Adams, who is quarterback friendly, most of the times you can just throw it up and he's going to make the play for you. Even if you make a bad read, that's something to be said for. Now he's going to have to break guys in. Christian Watson, who they drafted this year, I believe it was in the second round. He still has that rapport with Alan Lazard, but it's just not the same as if you have a Davante Adams. Now, Derek Carr, on the other hand, I think his production is going to go up because not only does he have Davante Adams, he has Hunter Henry and he has Darren Waller. But when you look at the relationship between Davante Adams and a Derek Carr, these two guys connected for over 3,000 yards and 38 touchdowns in college. They're best friends. They do just about everything together. So it's not like they're meeting up with in a Raiders uniform and they have to build that chemistry. The chemistry has been there for years since college. They just got to go out there on the football field and play now.
I think what's going to be interesting, particularly for the Raiders, is that taking the Tyreek Hill analogy, moving it over to Vegas. If you are a defense, you are going to have to account for Davante Adams. And that means the back half of your defense, particularly safeties, everybody's going to have to cheat a little bit to make sure that they're in the right spot for Davante Adams, that they can stop that. If you do that, that's only going to create more opportunities for Darren Waller and Hunter Renfrow to get open. It's why I think they're such a difficult defense to defend. It's why I think the Chiefs take a step back without Tyreek Hill. It's not that they don't still have talented people there. It's that you've taken away somebody that you had to adjust for so much that it suddenly creates a difficult thing. Now, when you look at Jeremy Fowler's top 10 wide receivers, this is supposed to be who we think this year will be top 10. I think DK Metcalf sitting at 10 is a little bit curious on this list because I have no idea who's throwing him the damn ball.
Here's the thing for me, and I don't care who's throwing him the ball. I wouldn't have put him at 10 because there's a guy in Keenan Allen who runs routes who's not as big as some of these other guys may be, who's not as fast as some of these guys may be as well, but he consistently for years and years and years find their way to get open. And you talk about quarterback friendly, he's another one of those guys who's quarterback friendly. You talk about route running and the precision, coming downhill, breaking your route at the proper angle, and just being there for your quarterback. Because now, see, quarterbacks can release the football, which they're supposed to anyway, with anticipation, but when you have a route runner like Keenan Allen, you're not worried about him being in the spot. You know he's going to be in the spot. So that's another reason why I have Keenan Allen in my top 10, and I have DK Metcalf looking out the on the outside end.
Well, you guys should check out the every day they're putting up different position groups. It's out on ESPN Plus. Really cool reading, a good opportunity to get an idea of where your team stands within the talent levels of the NFL. So be sure to check it out. In the meantime, we will get back to that, but there's some golf to talk about. That's right, golf, because the biggest star yet to sound off on the controversial Live Tour has said what you've got to hear. We'll play it for you next. Barton Hahn on ESPN Radio. Harry Douglas, Jason Fitz filling in for the guys.
Bart and Hahn.
Jason Fitz, Harry Douglas. hanging out. I don't know why I gave him a different name. All right. There's a wide receiver list out on ESPN Plus, top 10 wide receivers. Adam in Denver wants to chime in. We love it when you guys call 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. Adam, what you got? Thanks for calling the show.
Hey, thanks for letting me get on. Hey, love you guys. Thanks for taking over today.
Thanks.
Just want to say, hey, with that top five wide receiver list, the huge thing for me is Devontae Adams. You're going from an MVP to a Derek Carr, who I believe is not really a top quarterback, top 10 at all. And I think there's going to be a huge change in Devontae Adams' numbers going against the AFC West compared to what he was going against over there in Green Bay.
Take it, Harry.
Well, I'll say this. Here's the reason why there's going to be a difference in numbers. It's because he has a Hunter Renfrow and a Darren Waller. He has two solid guys, one at the tight end position and one who's one of the better slot receivers in the National Football League, who's going to take up targets as well. But as far as his play, he has that chemistry already with a Derek Carr. No way am I saying Derek Carr is Aaron Rodgers. Aaron Rodgers is the back-to-back MVP. Aaron Rodgers can do just about anything on the football field. But now you have two guys that you know 100% is going to draw coverage if the coverage is not on you. So he's going to have more one-on-ones per se. If a team decides that they need to double Hunter Renfrow or they need to double Darren Waller, now you have Devontae Adams getting those one-on-ones. Versus in Green Bay, we know he was getting the double coverage at all times. We knew he was going to get the best corner at all times. Now it could be a little fickety. Depends on how the Las Vegas Raiders diversify the football. But I do believe that Devontae Adams' numbers will only shrink, and that's because you have a Hunter Renfrow and a Darren Waller on your team.
Look, I've never hidden my Raiders fandom, but I've also been fair and objective every year when I've covered this team. I don't think Derek Carr is a world-beating quarterback, but he's very good. And I would say this. Last year, he completed 68% of his passes for 4,800 yards, 23 touchdowns. Who was his number one wide receiver for the second half of the season? Like, the year before, 4,100 yards passing. Who was his number one wide receiver? The only time that Derek Carr's really had two incredible weapons was the year that he was at least in the MVP conversation for much of the year. 28 touchdowns, 6 interceptions in 2016. I think that we see huge response from this, not just because of Derek Carr, but because Devontae Adams is that good. I disagree with the assertion that he's not that good. We'll keep it going now with more Barton Hahn. We'll keep breaking down everything you need to know about this list. And, of course, why neither of us are super into golf.
Bart and Hahn.
It's Barton Hahn on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, Sirius XM Channel 80, and your smart speakers. Hanging out with Harry Douglas, I'm Jason Fitz. We're presented by Progressive Insurance. Harry, I'm the first to admit, not a golf guy. All right, look, golf is not necessarily my thing. It's not my passion. I don't sit there and say, ooh, there's golf on this weekend. In fact, I remember when Tiger was going on his run in the Masters and everybody was like, oh, you just have to be at Augusta to really appreciate Augusta. Like, I'm the first to admit that happened. I was on live radio in Nashville at the time and people were like, you just have to go to Augusta. And I was like, maybe. And then my phone started blowing up with all my buddies from the touring days that were like, dude, we played Augusta twice. Like, the 18th hole, we were on there. We played it. I turned down the opportunity, apparently, to play it at one point in life. I just gave it to the crew guys. Like, I don't like golf. It's not my thing. That being said, I do like drama, right? And that's what we have right now when it comes down to LIV and the PGA. And finally, like, just when you think you could never hear a bigger voice on it, Tiger Woods has chimed in on the players that have decided to be part of LIV Golf. This is what he said.
To play there, I disagree with it. I think that what they've done is they've turned their back on what has allowed them to get to this position. Some players have never got a chance to even experience it. They've gone right from the amateur ranks right into, you know, that organization. But what these players are doing for, you know, guaranteed money, what is the incentive to practice? What is the incentive to go out there and earn it in the dirt?
I mean, Okay, so I sort of hear that, but I also feel like it's really easy for somebody that's worth Tiger Woods' amount of money to sit there and decide where somebody should take their money. The LIV Golf conversation, separate, like where the money's coming from, is a separate conversation than guys deciding that they want to take guaranteed money to me.
Well, I will say this, and one of the things that Tiger and a lot of older people got to understand is that the mindset of these younger players is not the same mindset that they may have had when they were coming up. Also, they didn't have these guaranteed money on the table for them to, I would say, take care of their family per se, if they have one, or get ahead in life, I should say. And if they have guaranteed money that they're able to get versus having to work for it, we know the mindset of this generation. They're going to take the guaranteed money, especially if they don't have to grind in the dirt to get it. We know that. So I don't understand why I know why he said it. And do I agree with him? Yes. But that's not the mindset of this generation.
I think you're right 1,000%. Like, I agree with the concept of where your money's coming from. What are you supporting? I understand all of those things. I also am not totally ignorant, despite popular perception. Tiger's worth $1 billion, right? A quick Google search says yes. He's worth $1 billion. Now, it's super easy for somebody worth $1 billion to sit back and say, you know what? There's no amount of money. I would never turn my back on the PGA. That is the wrong thing to do. What do you do when you're, you know, barely on the tour and somebody turns around and offers you guaranteed money that's absolutely generational and life-changing? Like, that's a big difference. And I love the concept of all of us saying, well, I would never do it. Like, I don't know. I believe that about 99% of the world has a price. Like, to be like the million-dollar man, like, everybody has a price, right? Like, there's a spot for me where I think most people sit back and they say, well, I would never do that, until you're faced with the opportunity to take that kind of check. Now, sure, there are certainly people I'm imagining that are yelling at their radio right now, it's dirty money from the Saudi Arabia people. I would never touch it. I would never want to be a part of that. And I think that's a really valuable and important conversation. It's also much easier for some of these golfers to turn around and say one thing when they don't have to worry about the other. The one thing I would say, Harry, is that I think LIV in some ways right now is actually good for the PGA. Not long term, again, taking the money conversation separately. But if I'm looking right now, the PGA needs to make some changes. This is forcing the PGA to make some changes. And it's forcing more golf conversation on radio than we've had in my 5 years of working at ESPN. Like, I have never heard us talk about golf this much. So the drama is at least helping eyeballs go to what's happening in golf when otherwise they may not be.
Well, and one of the other things it did, like you just mentioned, it applied pressure, right? And when you apply pressure, mysteriously, the PGA Tour, they find money that they mysteriously say they didn't probably have in the past. Now you have more money on the table. But when you have LIV Golf that's guaranteed, but they don't have the TV deals yet with the money, I think the PGA Tour, they can relax a little bit. Now, if LIV Golf mess around and get some TV deals and money thrown at them in those regards, that's when the PGA better watch out.
Well, so much of the concept is, do the Saudis even care about being on TV, or are they doing what's called sports washing, where essentially I'm going to change the perception of my country by being involved in something that makes people think, oh, it's not bad. Like, this, we've seen this in the Olympics. We've seen this throughout history, really. So, you know, there's a real conversation of what the end goal is for LIV Golf. I just think the end goal for human beings becomes a much tougher narrative. There's also, like, in the mindset of what we talk about, and I say this a lot with college football, the reason I hate the concept of guaranteed bids in a college football playoff is because, frankly, I spend all year studying college football to do the shows that you and I do together digitally, to do the draft, to do everything that I do in college football. I spend all year studying it. But let's be real. College football doesn't get huge ratings on radio. So you don't hear it all the time nationally on radio, because we study what people listen to and they don't care about it. At some point, at least on Tuesdays and Wednesdays, everybody cares, because there's a subjective committee that's deciding who the top four are. When we reach the spot, and I think we probably will, where the committee's no longer there and there's guaranteed playoff spots for the Big Ten champion and the Pac-12 champion and the ACC champion, it ruins the opportunity for us to have big conversations. That's why I look at it at some point, and look at the way we cover the NBA. Like, we care more about the drama of the offseason than we do about anything else. So that, to me, is what happens, Harry. Harry's giving me hand signals. I don't know what they mean. Harry, what are you giving me hand signals for?
Because we're up against the clock, and what I want to say, it's a hard out. I'm not going to be able to get out of time. That's why I was pointing to you to keep it.
Well, I was getting hand signals, and I wasn't sure, and I didn't know what was going on. This is the glory of doing radio, y'all. Like, we always peek behind the fourth wall. Like, Harry's giving me all sorts. He's screaming, hot route, and I'm over here not getting the audible call because I got too much crowd noise going on. The quarterback just tried to throw to the wide receiver. Now suddenly, who's responsible for the interception? This analogy has gone deep into the weeds. We'll keep you updated if anybody else speaks on LIV. obviously, as we continue the show. But most importantly, speaking of quarterbacks, there's one quarterback that hasn't played football in a very long time, and we have no idea if he's going to play this year. And with that being said, with no knowledge of what's going to happen, the question is, what's it mean for his team? We'll figure that out with Two A Days continuing next. It's Bart and Han on ESPN Radio and the ESPN app.
Bart and Han.